With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to another episode of Jaeger CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Jaeger. In this episode, we talk to Elliot Kischel as he discusses with us his transition from becoming a U.S. Marine officer who turns CPA, later becomes a permanent Canadian resident, now living in the United States, preparing to uproot everything to move him, his family, and his practice to Canada.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Jaeger from his beautiful downtown home in Rockville, Maryland, talking to you tonight with my special guest, Elliot Kischel. Now, you probably never heard of Elliot, and personally, I never heard of him before I spoke to him tonight. But Elliot is famous in many, many ways. And I brought Elliot on tonight for a few reasons. One, Elliot is going to eventually move to Canada. Why? He'll tell you in a second. And if it sounds good, we'll all move to Canada and follow Elliot. All right? And then, right, we'll talk. Excuse me, what is the problem here?
That was your audience clapping, Phil.
Oh, that was the audience, very short clapping. Anyway, so then Elliot will tell us about how he is a CPA and how the reciprocity is so simple to get a Canadian chartered accountant certification if you want to move to Canada. All right, so anyway, Elliot, how are you this evening?
Hey, Phil, I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Elliot, it's my pleasure. Elliot, tell us a little something about yourself. What do you do now, as far as to help the human race? What do you do tonight? Well, tonight,
so I'm just gonna,
during the day. Go ahead, Elliot.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm just going to back it up all the way from the beginning. I just started out in the Marines doing infantry reconnaissance types work, really hard on the body, ended up transitioning to become an officer in the Marines, specifically in finance. And that's how I got exposed to finance and accounting, just transitioned to Accenture, KPMG, all these big companies, and ended up in between getting my CPA there. And then I'm also a Canadian permanent resident. So I'm really, at this point in my life, just trying to blend all three of those experiences, whether it's being a Marine veteran, an active CPA, or a current Canadian permanent resident, and just trying to blaze a path forward to help other people, whether that's helping them transition from the military to business, helping them pass the CPA exams in the most efficient way possible for them, or living abroad and outside of the U.S.
Well, Elliot, that sounds interesting. In fact, I have to be honest with you, Elliot, I had a lot of relatives in Canada, but I don't want to move to Canada, but maybe perhaps other people want, and you can tell them the advantages. Rob, you want to move to Canada?
Well, coming from a much farther north state than we are here in D.C., I've gotten away from the cold and the snow, so I don't think I'd be moving back up north anytime soon.
Well, Elliot, you're on your own. So Elliot, you were in the Marines for how many years?
So I was in the Marines for 7 years, 3.5 as enlisted, and then 3.5 as an officer.
And then you came out at the end of 7 years. And what happened at that point?
Got married and had a kid.
That was it? When did you take the CPA exam?
So ended up working for Accenture for 3.5 years.
You want to tell people what Accenture is?
Yeah, sure. So Accenture is an international information technology company, and they're primarily known for implementing the healthcare system from the Obamacare.
And is that it with Accenture?
Yep,
where did you go from there? Where did you go from there?
I went to, that's when I left Accenture, attended school full-time to complete my master's in accountancy and also the CPA exams.
All right. And with the CPA, what did you do with it here in the United States?
Yeah. So after I got my CPA, I wanted to have that big four experience. So I ended up at KPMG in their federal advisory practice.
And was going to the Big Four everything you thought it would be?
Unfortunately, yes. Definitely the Big Four has that reputation of working really hard and having that their type of culture for a large organization. And yeah, I think what's unique about the experience is that I was in the federal advisory practice advising a large international organization on how to be audit ready, and where a lot of other people have the impression of the Big Four as whether it's tax, auditing, or that public accounting experience.
Now, what did you mean by unfortunately, yes? What did that mean?
So I really wanted to be at KPMG for maybe 3 to 5 years. I ended up being there for a total of 1 year. And that's why I said unfortunately. I wish I'd been there longer.
But why did you leave? Because you thought they worked you too hard, or why did you leave?
So yeah, no, it didn't work too hard. It was a 40-hour week. It was just, at that time, had two kids. At that time, they were 4 and 1. And then the commute was too long. I sustained it for as long as I could for a year. But yeah, it just wasn't a good fit with having a family and trying to balance the career. And I passed the final exam, the BEC exam, while I was at KPMG. So between those three things, my plate, it overflowed, and I stepped back from KPMG.
Did you have a lot of contact with the other employees in KPMG as far as their feelings of working at one of the Big Four?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of my coworkers, he was a CPA. He helped me pass that final exam and helped me navigate the culture there. And the managing director, she signed my CPA work experience at KPMG to fulfill that work experience requirement.
Any complaints from the people around you about the amount of hours you were putting in and whether it was worth it or not?
No, not with the hours. It was a 40-hour week. It was federal advisory, so that's we're kind of governed by federal contracts. And capped out at 40.
But, you know, for those who are on the audit staff, they probably do phenomenal amount of hours, don't they? During the, whatever the busy season is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And do you happen to know, I'm just curious, do you happen to know in the Big Four firms, what is the turnover for the first year of working for a Big Four firm?
So I don't really have the numbers, but that's a question that I always ask in interviews. What is the turnover rate here? And it can be an uncomfortable question. And for anyone that's listening, definitely ask that question directly to that interviewer. And that'll give you a gauge on what the turnover rate is.
You did ask, and they did not answer. Well, what did they reply to you?
Oh, they said it's high.
Well, that certainly narrows it down.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of numbers, I don't have any. I will tell you that my experience of that year that I was there, I experienced 5 different supervisors. Every supervisor that came in, they lasted an average of 2.5 months. And that was just the supervisors. That wasn't the senior associate level or associate level. And also it was client services. The client side also left as well. So That's my experience in answering what the turnover is like.
Yeah, it's a lot of people complain there's no quality of life when you're working, but then you have other people who don't have family, and they work there, and some of them do stay, and you know they want to reach the partner level. So, but I don't know how many people that is. You know, I work for a BDO Seedman, well, Seedman & Seedman, and also for J.H. Cone Company, who's now in with Resnick. And I found the hours were very extreme. And I had, at that point, a young child home. And I didn't want to work, you know, weekends and, you know, into the evenings. And it wasn't just, you know, tax season. They used to say, oh, it's only during tax season. It actually went into the rest of the year. So, you know, that's why I left and tried corporate and finally got into the university teaching. And you're contemplating a move. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And the move is to Toronto, Canada?
That's correct. Toronto.
All right. What's Toronto like? I mean, you've been there. Tell people what Toronto is. I mean, is it a cosmopolitan city? I mean, what kind of city is it?
Yeah. So if I could explain Toronto in one word, it would be international. There are so many different cultures in Toronto. So many different types of food. I didn't really realize how culturally diverse Toronto is. And another word would just, yep, go ahead, Phil. It is cold there. There's no way around that. However, they do have the infrastructure in place to make it not as cold.
So what, do they have a lot of tunnels in the streets so you don't have to walk outside? How do they make it comfortable?
Yeah, tunnels, you'll see the fashion there is different. When you go to the mall, it's a lot warmer. You got the boots as opposed to, you know, if you're down in Florida or somewhere else.
So you live in, can I mention where the state you're in?
Yes, you could absolutely mention.
Yeah, I believe you're in Virginia. And why do you want to leave Virginia? You're not leaving tomorrow, but why do you want to leave Virginia? What's the benefits of going to Canada?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Phil. It took me a long time to really get to the point where I wanted to move to Toronto, especially with my background as a Marine. I never thought I would be living in Toronto as a possibility. And so I married my wife, who's Canadian, and she sponsored my application, and I ended up getting my permanent residency. And it was really always a point of contention, just really had some really emotional conversations on moving to Canada. I didn't want to move to Canada. And then after I was able to get my permanent residency, really visit Canada twice a year, you know, I saw that they had something to them, whether it's healthcare, maternity leave is 18 months.
Well, tell us very quickly, what is the healthcare situation in Canada versus the U.S.?
So one, it's free. There's no co-pays. There's no insurance. You just get a card. It's called an OHIP card. And you just go into a medical facility and they serve you. So just by stepping in a medical facility here in the States, you automatically have to pay a copay before you can receive any type of service. That's just one example.
Yeah, but there's no free ride anyplace. I mean, where do they get the money, the Canadian government, to provide free health insurance? I mean, it's got to come from someplace. All right, do they tax you high, or where does that money come from?
So the money comes from taxes, and that is another, I don't want to say misconception, but I have a few friends that are in Canada that are from the States, and I ask them, they have to file both U.S. income tax return and Canadian tax return, and they say the Canadian, and their situation is totally different, so it's not representative of the whole, but they pay less taxes in Canada than they do in the States.
You're talking about federal taxes or federal and state?
Both.
Both.
Overall.
All right, and so taxes is a good thing. it sounds like health insurance, which we don't have in the United States, although they keep talking about universal life insurance, but we don't have it. What's the other benefits of going to Canada?
18 months of maternity leave paid that can be split with a spouse.
That is, how does that work? You know, obviously you're not getting pregnant. So your wife, if your wife was to have another baby and she gives birth, she can take off from her job. And is, by the way, you only get this if you're working. You just don't get 18 months, do you? Unless you're working a job.
Yeah, that's correct. 18 months. If you're not working, you would just go forever you want. There's no, yeah. And they pay you your salary, a certain percentage. And then,
All right, they have to, when you return to work, they have to give you back your same job or an equal job? Is that what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
It's similar to the Family Medical Leave Act, except that that act here in this country is, I think they give you 12 weeks of not paying you. You can take off 12 weeks, but it's not reimbursing you. It's not paying you. So it's not as good as the Canadian plan. Sounds, am I correct?
When I had my kid, I had 5 days of paternity leave under the FMLA.
5 days. Wow.
Yep.
That is really, we're not, the United States, we don't give as, what's the vacations like in Canada? They give, how many weeks a year do they generally give an employee?
So I don't know. That's probably just varies on the employer like it does here.
Because in Europe, Europe, they get phenomenal amount of vacation.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that comes to mind is Canada has Family Day. That's just a day off to spend time with your family.
Oh, okay. All right. That's interesting. That's,
yes, it is.
And what's the nice thing about that besides you get to spend the day with your family? Do they do? How do they celebrate it in Canada?
I mean, it's, you just celebrate it however you want to celebrate. It's really a day off. But, the purpose of the family day is to recognize the ones you love and take that time off to spend with people that you love.
Any other advantages you haven't pointed out to us as far as why you want to move to Canada versus stay in the States?
That's probably it. I mean, to add one thing for the States, in my opinion, I think the States is a great place to be somebody in terms of taking risks and getting that reward. I think, in my opinion, that the Canada is not necessarily a good place to take the risks where you can, get those big rewards. I think with that baseline of livelihood that they support you with, it's just a comfortable life. And you're not going to see huge risks being taken.
What happens with retirement? What's the retirement policies? Obviously, if you're self-employed, you have to have your own pension plan. But what do most corporations, what most corporations give as far as retirement?
No, I don't.
Okay, so you're planning on being in your own business?
Absolutely.
And what is that business going to be, if you have some idea? What would you like to do?
So right now, I'm just doing tax returns, just on a really small basis, have 10 clients, and then eventually going to try to grow that into business tax returns, CFO level type of services, and then possibly expand it into the cannabis industry.
Oh, really? So that is legal in Canada?
Yes.
By the way, for those who don't know what that is, we're not talking about cannibals, all right? Tell them. That's really marijuana, correct?
Correct.
What's the, they're legalizing them in certain states, but really it's still illegal from a federal standpoint in the United States.
Correct.
But I guess, they leave people alone. If they legalize it, say in Colorado, which it is legal, the feds don't come down on you, even though it's not, the federal laws have not passed the right to use that. So marijuana is legal in Toronto, and also, is it the Canadian government, or how do they do this? By province?
So I don't think anybody quite knows what it looks like. I'm coming at it from the accounting, tax, auditing, compliance, regulation, where these companies in Canada, businesses, are going to get all this revenue, and how are you going to manage it on the back end? That's the angle that I'm approaching it from.
Are a lot of firms going into that? Do you know? That's a big industry. Like Colorado, I forget, I don't know if it's $1 billion a year, but it's some phenomenal it's amount measurable. That they're raised in revenue in Colorado from legalizing marijuana. And is this is sort of a specialty now do they have any standards out, the Canadian government, about how the accounting should be for these type of companies that involve in marijuana?
I haven't been able to find any, and that's kind of what I was mentioning before, where there's a lot of risk with it, and I don't think a lot of people know what it looks like. They may think they know, but it's still wide open, and that's why I'm trying to, the barriers to entry are really low, and that's why I'm trying to get into it, see what's out there, and see how I can help other people try to grow their business in that specific industry or niche.
How many people, have you found out how many people are doing that type of accounting in Canada as of yet?
I would say probably nobody, especially with a CPA in the U.S., probably zero.
Right. Oh, God. That would be something really, to get into something at the, at the beginning of something it's sort of, the ground floor. It's a great, great idea. I mean, let's talk about, you have a U.S. CPA, correct?
Correct.
All right.
District of Columbia.
District of Columbia. And you're going to Canada. And there's always the concern, I mean, when we go from one state in the United States to another state, for a license, we have to worry about the reciprocity rules. All right. Now, what are the present reciprocity rules with a U.S. CPA getting a chartered accountant in Canada?
Yeah. So I just pulled that information up here, and then I'm going to just back it up one step further. Since I knew I had my CPA in the U.S. and I was moving to Canada, I was concerned that my CPA in the U.S. wouldn't be recognized in Canada. And so I kind of just kept an eye on the governing body for accounting in Canada. And prior to January 1st, 2018, I had to take a reciprocity exam, which is maybe another 3-hour exam. And I wasn't interested in doing that. And then this year in 2019, January 2018, the Canadian CPA body signed the mutual recognition agreement with the United States and the different counterparts. And that mutual recognition agreement, what it means to me and other CPAs in the U.S. who are interested in getting their CPA in Canada, is that you don't have to take the exam. You basically just have to fill out the same equivalent paperwork that we filled out to become CPAs in the U.S., whether that's recommendation letters, work experience, requirements, proof of identity, CPE requirements, ethical regulations, compliance. So that's basically the requirements that are required to become a member of a Canadian body of accountancy.
Do they have any rules if you do the opposite? You go from Canada to the U.S., you're a chartered accountant in Canada. Can you get the same benefit of getting the U.S. CPA?
So I haven't looked at that. However, if it's reciprocity, it's just going both ways. That's just fundamentally the definition. And if U.S. and Canada both sign that agreement, then in theory, a Canadian CPA should come be able to get a CPA in the U.S. and be recognized.
So you will be a U.S. CPA, which you'll maintain.
Correct. Right?
And you'll also, and by the way, you told me in Canada, I think you just mentioned this, they don't recognize the U.S. CPA. I mean, if you go work for a company or something, they don't really care if you're a U.S. CPA or not. They really look at the chartered accounting exam, a chartered accountant in Canada. Is that correct?
So it's correct. And the key distinction is two things. One is the word recognized. And then the second is I, as a CPA in the U.S., can't sign an audit for a Canadian company. That's going to be the key distinction.
Okay. But if you were just a CPA, you know, going to Canada, and you want to get a fairly good job in Canada, all right, you walk in and you say, hey, I'm a U.S. CPA. How much is that going to impress a Canadian company?
So the feedback that I got from recruiters, the contacts that I was making out there, not very much, very little.
Now, it's really interesting, and I was thinking about this, and I think I might have discussed this with you, you know, that really this is a good way that the chartered accountant in Canada keeps their certification, if you want to call it that, all right? Really, it benefits, I'm trying to put it this way. They're really saying, hey, we'll let you be a CPA still in the United States, but, you know, more or less, all right, we won't recognize it. And we're only going to recognize the chartered accounting. So they're protecting their own certification, all right? And they don't have to worry that CPAs will come in there and take over. Isn't that true?
I haven't thought about that. Yeah, I understand your point, and I see the possibilities there. And, yeah, that could be a possibility.
Yeah, I think it's very, very smart thinking, if that's their thinking. It's just my opinion, but if that's their goal, it's excellent. They never have to say, well, you know, we'll have too many people coming in here from the United States, and then the people, you know, they won't bother with the CA chartered accounting exam in Canada. Well, the thing is, I don't know who has come up with the idea of basically, I mean, who is basically spreading the news to the companies that, hey, you really, a CPA in Canada is not going to really help a person as far as their career goes, but we'll give them the reciprocity so they'll become a chartered accountant in Canada. All right. They'll never, the chartered accountant in Canada will never be threatened by the U.S. CPA certificate. I just think that's terrific, you know. Very smart. As I said, it's smart, shrewd, and actually very simple to get if you're a U.S. CPA. I mean, you don't take an exam. You basically just fill out some paperwork, right?
It's the same paperwork as we did to get the CPA in the U.S. One thing that's not clear is if you have to be a resident or not.
So that's a resident only, of Canada?
A resident of Canada. Yeah, of Canada.
Oh, okay. Well, so how do you establish residency in Canada?
Yeah, and that's... So I was able to establish my residency in Canada because my wife sponsored me. If you don't have any relatives in Canada, there's a possibility that you can apply for residency in Canada as a through their skilled entry option.
So if you have a profession that's really in high demand,
yep,
and you're not, you know, you don't have any relatives in Canada, you're U.S., you know, from the U.S., if there's a, you know, a shortage, say, of that profession, all right, you could probably get residency. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's all online. They have their own scoring system on how they determine the prioritization, and you just fill out the skilled entry. I filled it out just to see what would happen, and that was pretty easy for me, and then you're in line to receive an application for permanent residency in Canada.
And when you get all this stuff, you're going to, once again, what are you going to do with the CPA license while you're in Canada, all right? What are you going to do with that from a job standpoint or your own business standpoint? You're going to do what type of returns?
Yeah, so the immediate action, and once I hit the ground in Canada, one is to keep doing just the individual tax returns. I wanted to keep the income coming in from the U.S. dollar. The dollar right now is it's $1.30 in Canadian dollars for every $1 in Canada.
Oh.
So as I keep that U.S. dollar income coming in, I'm making more money in the Canadian when I exchange it. And the second thing, I'll still have to get a job to support myself and my family. And so that'll be the actions I'm taking. However, I'm committed to expanding and growing that business as the years go by on the side.
And once again, you get the chartered accounting in Canada, All right. What will you do with that?
Really, I mean, take over the world. It's really just
take communicating. Over the
world. Yeah, it's really just communicating to people. You know, my background, being a Marine, I got my CPA in the U.S. when I was 36. And then I'm moving to Canada. You know, they're not going to meet a lot of people like that. It's just a communication piece where I can just pull out the credentials and it just has that, you know, significance or meaning.
Right.
In those circles. I mean, I don't pull it out all the time. I don't even have it on my email address or, you know, my signature in my email. It's personal validation and really just being able to operate internationally recognized by a governing body. That's my personal validation with it.
Now, let's talk about what I consider philanthropic, and they are philanthropic. When people are getting out of the military, what do you do as far as mentoring them to help them sort of acclimate to the civilian life? What do you do?
Yeah, so what I'm doing today is I just post, you know, what I'm trying to do with I post on LinkedIn to my community, who consists of veterans and military members. Maybe it's about 1,500 to 2,000 people in the network. And I just let them know what I'm up to. And whenever they're ready for that transition, they contact me. And we just have a call off the platform. I get to learn what they're about. I deployed to Iraq for 7 months. I was in Afghanistan for a year. I understand the military culture.
Thank you for your service, by the way. Thank you for your service.
Yes. Thank you, Phil. And I'm just really happy to be here. And I just let them know that I understand the military culture, the language, the tempo, the demand that it takes. And I can help them with their transition wherever it is they want to go, whether it's business or any other type of goals that they may have.
So they have to be on LinkedIn to find you, or can they find you another way?
So LinkedIn, they can find me any way they want, but LinkedIn has the widest reach. And then without LinkedIn, it's a smaller reach, limited to kind of my contacts on my phone and their networks.
You have a website?
So I have a website.
Do you have a website?
Yes.
All right. What's the website? If someone went on the web, how do they find you on the web? What would they do?
So the website is ElliotCashelCPA.com, and that's for the tax returns, not really for the military.
You don't have anything for the military. I thought you had something.
Yeah, no. Yeah, okay. That's for the tax returns. That's separate. So basically how I view it, Phil, is just I'm passing on my way of being to my network through whether it's social media or connections like this. And whoever's listening to it on the other end, maybe they know a veteran. And that's how I view it, and just trying to live my life out into the world to where anyone can contact me for what that particular thing that they need.
You're a very good person, Elliot. You know, it's just you don't see that too often anymore. People that are willing to help other people. I think that's terrific. And of course, the people who serve in the military, you know, they basically come out, they do need some help, whether, you know, it's finding, you know, what direction to go into from a standpoint of, you know, their vocation. And I think that's terrific. In fact, I don't know of anybody else that does this. It's just terrific. I mean, I commend you tremendously. I was not in the military, and I got out of college during the Vietnam War era, which was a terrible, terrible war. And there was, I mean, terrible dissension in the United States, the citizens, because so many people were against it. All right. But my day of reckoning came because they had a lottery, and I came out number two on the lottery. Okay. Which meant I've never won a lottery, you know, for money, but, you know, the lottery to be drafted, number two. So anyway, I went for my physical, and I was just, maybe someone was looking down upon me. Luckily, to me, it was luckily that I flunked my physical. You know, I didn't put anything sugar in the urine or anything like that. I just happened, you know, the doctor, he told me I had a heart murmur. He told me I had blood in the urine. I mean, he basically said at the end, the captain, the doctor, he says, Mr. Yeager, you better go see a doctor, all right? You're in really bad shape, all right? So I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, what are you talking about? You're in excellent health. So, you know, hey, they didn't want me. I mean, if they had wanted me, I guess I would have gone. But it wasn't a popular war, as you probably know. But even today, all right, I go down, all right, I've been down to the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C., and going there Memorial Day weekend, it's very moving because a lot of the veterans come there and they look for names of, you know, friends that were killed in action. I mean, it's a very moving moment to go down there. If you ever go down to the wall, the Vietnam War Memorial. And I guess I appreciate the stuff that, you know, this country has to be protected. And, you know, it's now a volunteer army. It's all volunteer. We're not drafting people. So the people volunteering, they deserve a lot of credit and they really should be thanked. And every time I see a veteran, I say, even though I did not myself be in the army, military, whatever, I thank people for their service to this country, just like I'm thanking you right now. So anyway, Elliot, besides...
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I can really appreciate your experience. That was a shaky time in American history. And what I heard from you is that you had that, you got that number two, you won the lottery. And I understand the mental stress that goes into that. And you know what, Phil? You showed up, you stood in line, you went through the medical procedures, and you were probably threw your hat over the wall. And I can only imagine what it was like to go through the medical, just like I did. The medical doesn't change. And then for whatever reason, you didn't get picked, but you showed up, Phil. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And it was, I remember it was a tough time, you know, cause I just got married and, you know, it was 3-4 years, until I found out, you know, that I wasn't going, but it was a tough time. I'm not going to say I lost a friend who I knew from high school. And actually it's very sort of, I don't know. He got killed on the day, you know, we lost contact, but I went to the Vietnam Memorial, looked him up, and the date he was killed was the date that we got married. That was sort of very eerie when I saw that. Oh, is that, you know, and I felt bad because I remember we were very, very close as children. We went to, you know, all the school, high school together through everything. And, you know, like anything else, he didn't go to college. And I went to college and he became eligible and he got called and, you know, he got killed. I can't imagine what it was like to be there other than maybe you look at the movies Platoon or something. You know, and I don't know how realistic. I guess it was pretty realistic.
It was realistic.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, I felt bad about that. I still think about this fella I knew because we grew up together. And, you know, I just, he could have had a whole life ahead of him. And it just, it wasn't in the cards, as we say that. It wasn't in the cards. So anyway, you do one other thing that, once again, I want to commend you. All right. Tell everyone about what you do for people who are, you know, they don't have the money to get a tax preparer. What do you do for them?
So I'm also a volunteer income tax assistant, VITA program. It's nationwide. Anyone can volunteer to do the tax, to be a VITA assistant. And it's a tax preparer. And you just pass a very easy exam. And then I prepare taxes for low-income communities. The threshold is $55,000. And one thing that I'm getting out of that program that other people might be interested in is we accountants understand the technical aspects of filling out the returns, all the auto calculations that are happening in the background of the software. But what the exam and the books are not going to teach us is how to fill out the return when you have a family of four sitting there staring at you, waiting to get your return done. And how are you going to explain to them the refund or the liability that they owe at the end of it?
How does that make you feel when they're sitting there and they're really counting on you to help them? I mean, you must get a tremendous amount of satisfaction.
Yeah, I do. I get CPE credits for doing that as well.
Well, that's a satisfaction too, but yes.
I was going to say that doing this has been probably the most rewarding thing as a CPA that I've done with my CPA. It hasn't been the big four. It hasn't been my personal business. It's been volunteering to help other people with the CPA.
Elliot, I've never met you, and hopefully one day I will meet you. But I just think, I mean this honestly, because I kid around a lot. People think I'm a big joker, but I'll be serious now and say thank you very much. You're a very good person, and I hope your move to Canada when it occurs, all right, brings you a lot of success and happiness and good health. And I want to thank you very much for telling your story to our listeners. And maybe it'll make them say, hey, here's a person who does things. He's very kind, gives his time up just to do tax returns. All right. Hey, of course, we have a lot of CPAs that probably are listening to this. And you know what? Do something like this. Give back. That's what you got to do in this society. I think we've sort of lost that. People do very well today, but they, as they get into their businesses or towards retirement, they don't give back. I think you have to give to people. It's, the minute that ends, I don't know what this world is going to go to, but, I'm seeing less of people giving, but I don't know if you see that, but it just sort of bothers me when people just don't help other people. I don't care if it's shoveling snow or, helping someone. I mean, this may sound really stupid, but helping someone across the street, even do something nice. I think you'll feel better for it. So anyway, well, Elliot, once again, good luck with everything in the future. And I hope you become the foremost expert in marijuana accounting. Okay? All right?
I'm going to take that on.
Take that on. All right? And by the way, don't use too much of the inventory. I hope you won't.
Cost of goods sold.
Cost of goods sold. All right? Because then your business will go up in smoke. That's a real big one, isn't it? All right.
Yeah, so you're a funny guy, Phil.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Anyway, once again, Elliot, tell people if they want to do tax returns, what they have to do, who they can get in touch with.
Yes, that's just the VITA program, Volunteer Income Tax Assistant. It's a nationwide program sponsored by your county, wherever you are. You can just pass the exam and then help people. And can I just want to end, Phil, by saying one more thing.
Go ahead, please.
I wasn't always like this. I definitely went through a very long journey to really get to this point in my life, to be able to have this type of discussion and these options and living out with other people. I was definitely internalizing a lot of things that Iraq and Afghanistan experienced, kind of similar. It just, it wasn't always great. However, the one thing that I also want to recommend to the listeners is I attended this thing, another resource called Landmark Forum. And through the forum, I was able to get to where I am now through some of their programs and their work. And if you were inspired, touched, or moved by anything that myself or Phil said, the Landmark Forum is also another resource for anyone to accomplish whatever their goals may be.
Is that Landmark Forum associated with any specific religion or,
No.
Okay.
No. Why did you go there, Phil? No, absolutely not.
No, I'm just curious because...
Yeah, nope.
I think that's great. And
yeah.
Hey, once again, I respect you tremendously. I really do. And anyway, thank you again. And we will continue to have these podcasts. And I didn't get to really talk tonight too much to Rob, the producer,
it's all right,
and just a hell of a nice guy. Rob, All right.
Thank you, Phil.
What do you think? How'd you like this podcast tonight, Rob?
It was interesting. I definitely learned a little bit about the Canadian culture that I never knew before.
And Rob, before we end with Elliot, do you have any questions for Elliot?
No, but if you ever need someone to maintain your IT infrastructure when you're in Canada, we can do remote work.
Absolutely.
Is that a plug for you, Rob? Or
Absolutely, Phil. Okay. Anytime.
Well, I like someone who's, pushing themselves. That's great, Rob.
Thanks again for listening to CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager of Yeager CPA Review. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you'd like to hear about on the podcast, let us know. We want to hear from you. Send your feedback to podcast@yeagercpareview.com. If you're in the market for a CPA review course or simply want to know more about the CPA exam, check out the yeagercpareview.com website. And don't forget, when you're purchasing that all-access bundle course through their website, use promo code PODCAST to get 15% off your purchase. If you haven't already, please don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast so you receive those notifications when new episodes are available, and help spread the word. Like and share the podcast on social media so your friends and family, colleagues who may be interested in the podcast can also see what we have to offer. You can now listen to CPA Review and More on more listening platforms such as Spreaker, YouTube, Spotify, and the Apple iTunes podcast app. Until next time, have a great day and enjoy your week.